This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
They have this Panther sound effect that is just the cheesiest, stupidest sounding thing. Big voice guy going, Panther goal scored by Sam Reinhart.
Where'd you get that thing?
I trapped it. Been keeping it in my bathroom at the motel, feeding it old pizza.
It's Mike Shope.
If you're calm, that wondrous big cat will be calm too. But if you're scared, that beautiful death machine will do what God made it to do, namely, eat you with a smile on its face.
And the Bulldog. On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Next Saturday, October 12th, Florida, Game 4.
Oh, wow. Yeah, already.
A week from Saturday.
Look at you scoping out the schedule.
Well, it hit me.
The first one is Friday, and I haven't looked past that.
Okay, well, next Thursday is the home opener, L.A., and then the following game is Florida on the Saturday, the 12th. It hit me this morning. I bought tickets this year. So we haven't had our draft yet.
Oh, wow.
This Saturday is the draft. We all want to see how the Devils look first before we go ahead and pick games.
That makes sense.
And sure. The Sabres. Sure. No, that's just when it was scheduled. So I just remembered today, like, I have to pick games. And next weekend, I'm going to Pittsburgh for lacrosse. So, like, oh, can't go to that one. Scratch it off. I have to sit down and start to plan this.
Don't let your opponents know that.
No, I just did.
You weaken your position on bartering for these.
I guess I just did, yeah. I'm out on October
12th. So this is not the big catered waitstaff event that it's been in past years?
We had our fun.
Remember this getting pretty complicated for you.
We had bartenders. We had a chef. I made those, I think, beautiful ticket cards that were a hit. Then I kind of lost interest. And this summer, I decided to get back in there. So that's going to happen, in theory. I'm at least responsible for buying these tickets.
All right, well,
whether I go or not,
it's a start. Yeah. Well,
I think I'm going to want to go.
I hope you do. I hope you want to go. I hope we all want to watch. I was thinking about them yesterday. I know, we talked for an hour or so about them one day last week, and it's coming. So it's time to start making room here. We'll talk to Paul in an hour here. Yesterday, I was thinking, I don't know how ready I am for this commitment. Like, for me, it is a commitment. It's every, three nights a week with them, and then whatever else. Usually it's every night. It's a game, and I don't know.
Like, you're not ready yet.
I'm not. No, it's time. I mean, I know the calendar and everything. It just, I don't know. It's just sort of snuck up on me this year for some reason. Like, I know these preseason games have been happening. I know the training camp is going on. But I just haven't been dialed in.
Well, I have a theory.
I'm open to
it. It hasn't been cold yet.
Okay.
For like one day.
Yeah.
I mean, the October storm was like, what, this week?
Well, like 11th, 12th, 13th, okay, somewhere in there. But yeah, close enough.
Next week.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to rush anybody.
Right.
First of all, we're not... people do this. Like, it'll be the middle of August. They'll be like, oh, I'm not ready for school. It's not school yet. You're not supposed to be ready yet.
Right.
I can't believe summer's over when it's not over.
Yeah.
These kinds of things. You sort of get there early in your head. The hockey season is technically not here yet.
I like the cold. I think it probably is running concurrently with my obsession with golf.
Yeah, okay. You're still playing golf, right?
I'm still playing golf. I play golf today. I show up, 7:30 in the morning. The starter's like, hey, Chris, how are you? I'm like, another day pretending I'm retired. That's what it, it's a Tuesday morning and I'm at the golf course at 7:30. Like, I feel like I'm qualifying as like semi-retired person, even though I still, do this like I've been doing this for 30 years.
On the first day of October.
So I think that might be it. Like I don't want that to end. I really enjoy that. And you know, we still have I played the first weekend of November last year, so we'll see. You know, there can be cold days and then still nice days where you can go golfing.
Of course.
But I'll bet that's it. I'll bet it isn't cold yet, sure. I think there's probably been other years where October's come and it hasn't been cold yet and I'm ready. I think it's the golf thing. I think I'm just in such a very different place for me with that game that I don't want it to end, and the hockey season coming is obviously a signal that, you know, golf season is ending, at least around here.
It is always changing. You know, your family life situation changes too, and, you know, other people in your house have a role in whether you want to go to games and watch games and their interest in it. And that's just kind of always moving. And the team, of course, is always changing. So I think it's not the worst year for getting into them, but it's still a little bit, I think objectively, a little bit forced optimism to think like they're going to be good. I mean, I just doubt that they're really good. You want to just get in, you know, be good enough, keep it interesting, make progress, get in. And that's probably a win. Not for, like, other teams, would it be? But for these guys, that's, you know, we're watching the Detroit Tigers play postseason baseball right now. And, like, they and the Royals, like, you know, it's already, you want to win from here. But it's already kind of a great job.
Yeah, like, midway through August, they looked like they were toast. And then they just put up the best record in the league since then. And here they are in the postseason. Yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't any Sabres fan take the 2017 Bills season? Right? Just get in. And go, you know, score, get a field goal against Jacksonville and go home. But fine. We got in. We ended the drought.
No more drought.
Super. Great. So go get in and, you know, lose to Florida in two games. I know that's not how it works, but like whatever. Just get in and be sacrificed and we'll all be like, okay, I can breathe again.
Well, congratulations if that happens in advance to Luukkonen on his Vezina. Because that Bills team was bad. And in hockey, that's a team with a great goalie. You know, bad teams do make the playoffs, believe it or not, sometimes. Okay, well, enough stalling. It is Tuesday, 3 o'clock. We will talk to Paul. And we'll also talk to Ross Tucker today. No Trista, unfortunately. But now, it's time for Reverse AFC Power Rankings, powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. So, just enough room on the latest sheet, but unfortunately, I have done a bad thing, and I'm using blue ink. I mean, got to be consistent, and I wasn't. That's my pen today. It's blue. Blue ink.
I think I have a black ink pen over here. But
you're going to write over everything, or you want me to just move over to the black pen?
It's too late now.
I'm not doing it.
What's done is done.
It's been said.
You are already challenging yourself by trying to fit that column in there. I mean,
that's fine. Yeah, I think we'll see.
I don't like writing on the edge when your hand can't be on the page.
Yes,
right. That just it throws me off. The different, you know, I need the tackiness of the paper. Now,
I hear that. Yeah, makes
really,
sense.
Really, really.
If you know, you know.
Really digging in here.
16.
Jacksonville is my pick to be 16th. The coach.
Sure.
The coach is what? The coach is, you know, I can only do so much. I mean, I don't disagree with him. You just never say that quiet part out loud.
It's usually a sign that
if you're the coach. I said this. I mean, I didn't sit with that game, but it felt like Houston was begging to get beat, and Jacksonville just couldn't do it. They just couldn't get there. So they're in tough, man. Something's gonna have to break there.
They do not have the worst point differential in the league, despite 0-4 and their blowout loss here. You know who does?
Miami.
Miami does. 15. Cleveland Browns.
I'll roll with that. Sure. Did they have any kind of a beef on the 80-yard touchdown that got washed out early?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, yes.
I didn't see what the penalty was. I just know that they got
Cooper?
An 80-yard touchdown to Cooper that got pulled back.
You know, if we end up talking about trades, keep his name in mind.
Oh, yeah. That because they did a great thing with his contract that will allow a team like, you know, any contending team that's up against the cap to acquire him. I think he's going to take up like $600,000 on someone's salary cap if he gets moved, because they converted a bunch of salary to bonus and paid it. That should mean you pay a premium for him. But I think, like, if you're trading for Davante Adams, better player, but the contract is massive. And unless the Raiders do something to adjust that, I would think you pay more for Cooper than you do for Adams because of the value of what you're getting salary cap wise.
He's had 8 1,000 yard seasons. Amari Cooper.
Yeah. He might be
the best
receiver that I have never really cared about.
Seven. He seems like a guy I've never gotten right. I know that there have been games, like last year in the fantasy playoffs, all those best ball tournaments, you had to have Amari Cooper because he had this massive game against Houston in week 15 or 16. And so good luck if you didn't. And I didn't draft Amari Cooper.
Yeah.
And other times I have, like this year, oh, yeah, Amari Cooper. And it's just miserable.
Yeah.
Although that probably should have counted. Yeah, 7 1,000 yard seasons for Cooper. Okay. Cleveland at 15, 14. Dolphins.
Miami,
yeah.
So far it's the standings, but
okay. I'm part of the problem.
If that's even a problem. I didn't spend a lot of time with the Dolphins last night. They couldn't do anything, right?
No.
Yeah, if you watched a lot of that game, I mean, good on you, because that was torture.
I hung with it. You know, it started earlier, so I was there. And then as soon as they reminded me that a better game was on ABC with a little bug in the corner, I'm like, oh, yeah. I remember, better game. I got to go. And that was the end of that. By then, Levis was already out. But Miami. Yeah, the story today is, hey, Mike McDaniel, you're great at this, we think. How come Matt LaFleur can win with Malik Willis and make their offense functional, at least, with him? Maybe the answer is maybe simply Malik Willis is way better than Tyler Huntley or Skylar Thompson. Yeah, I kind of doubt it too. But, you know, maybe that's part of it. But
even look at Minnesota last year, though. Josh Dobbs is coming in
right
off the street.
So why can't you find a way to make it work without Tua? I think is a fair question. So he's starting to get some heat there,
me
I
too.
Think, on that.
At New England this week. And Tua is not back, but he will be back.
That's what, yeah, that, right, that was last night. Schefter said, like, maybe just a few more. He's on IR for till through week 6, is that right?
Yes.
Week 3, 4, 5, 6, yeah, that's 4 games.
This was always my guess. Right after that Bills game, well, he gets hurt against the Bills, he walks off. Like, there was no
stretcher
cart
the whole
this time.
Thing. Right. Yeah.
And shortly after, maybe the next day, there was a report that he does not intend to retire. Like, okay, well, then you watch their next game and he's on the sideline. Like, he's around. I think he's coming back as soon as he's available to, eligible to, week 7. And they're here week 9, I think it is. That sound suggests you're looking that up.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, easy. Week 9. You
13.
Got it. Speaking of the Patriots.
Yeah, I guess. Yep. Okay. 12.
When do they go to Drake May?
Not yet. They're not doing it yet. We're set this week. 12.
The Jets. That is like a game away from imploding.
Raiders.
If that.
Raiders.
Yeah, I got a few before that. It could be at a tipping point, but you know, Rodgers and Salah are best friends. Did you catch that today?
Did not.
Everything after the Denver
did his weekly shot on McAfee. Rodgers did and was asked about his relationship with Salah, and I think the phrasing "best friends" was used.
Best friends were great friends.
It's something along those lines. Like, sure, whatever you say. Just, you know, you're trying to hide it from everyone by not interacting with him in any positive manner ever in public.
Wouldn't want anybody to know.
Right. So fine. Anyway, I think still a little early for them. Who did you say?
Raiders.
Raiders? Yeah. Yeah, I could do that.
11, Tennessee.
That was who I was going to suggest instead of the Raiders.
So, yes?
Yes.
10.
Bengals?
Broncos. Still on the Jets.
But the Broncos beat the Jets, so that's probably...
I'd also say with the Broncos, like, they've got the rookie quarterback. They might have a good coach. I don't know. I mean, did Bo Nix even throw 400 yards? No.
No.
I mean, the Jets, I think confidently now at this point say they have bad coaching. Saleh, the defense has its moments. Nathaniel Hackett, I literally don't know why he's there.
The Denver defense is good.
It is. Yeah, I think it is.
They've given up 29 points in three games. Steelers, Bucks, Jets. The Bucks were rolling until Denver. But I don't know. Nix isn't doing anything. Like, this could be one of those quarterbacks that you get stuck with. Like, you have to keep going because you're not terrible. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Could you ever see
success? What's his ceiling? Andy Dalton, maybe, it might be his ceiling. And, you know, that's fine. You'll make the playoffs and then get trampled probably by someone who's good. You know, not that they're going to make the playoffs this year, but, like, eventually, like, maybe that's your ceiling.
660 yards in four games, one touchdown, four picks. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm all right with Denver here. Sure.
Even though they won. 186 yards of offense. I don't want to be them. 9.
I'll go Jets here now.
Okay.
I do think it his knee is swollen. 2, Rodgers, that also came out on the, you know, I'm a little dinged up. And Denver's defense is good. He just missed everything on Sunday. Just everything. And it should be so hard on him about missing. Some of it just looked like guys, like, were...
A lot of miscommunication, yeah, especially at the end of the game.
Right. Like, back shoulder stuff, and guys are just not even turning around. The ball's, you know, 10 yards behind them, sailing out of bounds. And, like, what have we been doing here?
Well, this was kind of your expectation.
Yep.
Just a guy with a reputation for not being easy to work with, entitled, you know, has power over the roster. Basically, they gave him the franchise. And if he's somebody that young players just can't relate to, or vice versa, what does it look like? It looks like that. That's what would happen.
Did you catch the Saleh after the game said, I can say, had some trouble with
cadences,
false starts. So Rodgers, cadence, trying to get them to jump, the defense to jump, and he was throwing his own guys off. And Saleh said, we may have to revisit how we're using that. And after the game, Rodgers was like, I mean, that's one way to do it. You could also hold them accountable.
It's so good.
Telling the coach, who he himself has, like, cut that guy's you-know-what off already 10 different ways, he's going to say he should hold them accountable. Good job. Man, I would hate my life if he was my quarterback. Whew. He's not. So I smile.
Unless they're winning, and then it's fine.
Yeah. But,
you know, they're not. 8.
Cincinnati. Colts.
I'll go Colts ahead of the Bengals. I did say Bengals way earlier. And I think
you did?
You did. I thought you were going to jump in with me.
I know. I rushed it.
It's fine. I'll remember. It's fine.
7.
Bengals.
Pittsburgh.
I'm still on Bengals.
You'd really rather be the Steelers than the Bengals?
They're winning. I feel like the Bengals might, like, I mean, Nick Sirianni kind of leads the rush right now of, like, midseason coaching firing. I mean, Lou Mariello's gone from he's a defensive wunderkind to they can't stop a bloody nose. I mean, what's the line going into Baltimore? Burrow's never going to have the ball. They can't stop anybody. And they're just going to run no issues, and they're going to be 1-4 and dead by, before Halloween.
Well, I doubt it, but we'll see. They're a 2-point underdog. Anarumo, I mean, he's been good. And that's probably not, in my opinion, that's not a team that's dead by Halloween. But maybe.
Maybe they get off the mat this week and make that a race, said the guy who's got the Bengals in an eight-team division parlay.
Carolina's a bad team, and we're making that a game for a while.
Yeah. Six Chargers. I mean, the Bengals, really, the Steelers. This is annoying. Chargers at six.
I kind of forgot about the Chargers, I'll admit. So, sure, let's put them in here now.
Five. Pitt.
Sure, yeah.
Four.
Bills.
Houston.
Houston.
Okay.
Their offensive line, they're leading the league in false starts, which it's through 4 weeks. 12 is not the worst number, but against Minnesota, they had like four or five straight plays of offensive line penalties. A lot of pressure rate on Stroud. Stephon Diggs' stats look great, but he's not really hugely efficient compared to Nico Collins. They also have not looked awesome yet. You can kind of see the talent, but they've yet to look great. I mean, Chicago kind of kept it close to them. The Colts have looked bad outside of that game against Houston.
All right, so Houston is four?
Yep. Three? Bills.
Buffalo. Bills, yeah.
Two?
Kansas City.
Ravens.
I'm going to put Ravens two.
See, I checked with you yesterday, but I know I didn't have to say Baltimore. I was allowed to move Kansas City after saying last week, I'm not moving them up until they lose, but another close game, another big injury. So far, so good, I guess. If we were Kansas City, what would your mood be? Either this is going to go badly, you know how, you know, maybe it's you, maybe it's just everyone you know, that whenever the Bills lose a game, it's just like they're the worst. Is that how it would be if they were about as good or better, but also had won the last two Super Bowls? Or would we just not worry about it so much? Like, I would like to think if I were in Kansas City, I would just like not worry about it.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah, I look forward to having this challenge someday, but how do I always say it? Like, the Bills win the Super Bowl. Somebody riding around in their car between appointments is going to want to hear me screaming about how bad the right guard is after they just won the Super Bowl 4 months ago. Like, I don't know. In Kansas City, I think any job talking about the football team gets more challenging the more they keep winning. Because what are you inclined to do? Like, just sit back and go, I'll figure it out. They always do. Like, that's how I think I would feel if I were in Kansas City right now. I'm counting my blessings. I'm 4-0. I haven't looked really great at all, but I'm 4-0.
I definitely would not want to be known as the guy that is, like, freaking out over close wins.
Right.
You know, I would not want that to be my reputation.
Right.
Reverse power rankings on WGR, powered by Empire Electric, your residential neighborhood electrician. Visit EmpireElectricians.com. Where did we get it wrong? 803-0550. Some hockey today. Paul Hamilton will join us, setting up the start of the Sabres season Friday afternoon. And Ross Tucker with his regular visit today at 5. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Lines open for your calls. This is WGR.
So this big story happens where they think your coach, or your coach did, I actually don't know, likes this post about you getting traded. My first question is, how soon did you hear from coach?
I haven't heard from him. I haven't talked to him. I don't really know exactly what that was about. You know, social media is a beast, so it's a lot of people out there that saw it and, you know, wondering what's going on and people reaching out. And yeah, I haven't spoke to him.
Davante Adams, K. Adams. So what have we got? The coach of the Raiders is online and liked a post suggesting that Adams, Devontae, may have played his final game for the team. Listen, I mean, maybe that means something. You might tell me, like, I'm the gullible one. You might tell me I'm going to wait to find out that it doesn't. But I'd love a coach with a sense of humor for once in my life in this sport. Is there a football coach in the world who has a sense of humor? Because if you did, you would totally like posts like that. You would just, you would, you know, have fun with it. Get people, you know, wondering.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that has anything to do with whether he should have talked to the player by now, but, you know, maybe he doesn't need to have done that.
Yeah.
He's been hurt, supposedly.
He could, it's possible. How do you like, when you like things on X?
X.
What is the reason for doing it? Like, if people respond to something I've done and they're commenting, I like that. Here, you liked my thing. You interacted with me here. I don't have time to reply to everyone, but thanks. Thank you.
Right.
Oh, I like that.
That's one.
Right. I also will use it to flag things that I want to revisit at some point that I might want to have handy when I'm in here talking with you or for some other purpose to read later or
then you
whatever.
Go to the likes
right.
tab or
so
something?
I and that way I that's sort of like a little folder. So
that I don't do.
I'm liking it. I haven't even read it yet. What I'm doing is saying, I want this for later. So
you're bookmarking it.
Right. Is it possible that maybe there's a better way to do that, a less conspicuous way to do that? I don't know. But it's possible Antonio Pierce saw that and went like, I want to remember who this person is who said this and find out where they found that out or where they think they're getting that and have a conversation with them and straighten them out. So, like, I don't know. It's possible. Like I would use the website that maybe if I weren't an NFL coach, I wouldn't. I'm just saying. Like I innocently like things that I haven't even really explored yet.
That's good cover.
Right.
I have admitted here. I do not do that.
Yeah,
so. I don't have a likes. Well, I probably do, but tab or anything. I just no.
So I don't know. It you know certainly seems reasonable to expect that dude to get traded at this point. I don't know how realistic it is that they can trade him with the contract as it's currently sitting, because it's a big number for a team to take on during a season. But maybe they can do something. I don't know. Do you have to do it before the season even begins? Maybe I should call our friend at SpotTrack, Mike Jannetty, and find out like what the parameters are on stuff like that.
There's, of course, going to be a way to do it. I mean, whoever the team is, if the Raiders want to trade him, they will. It shouldn't be impossible to do that. And, you know, are the Bills, is it worth talking about here? Because we've had these conversations about lots of different A-list receivers, and he's that. And right now, I mean, last week it would have been a different conversation. But,
yeah, what did I say last week when you brought it up? I want to keep going, but I'm open to revisiting it at some point between now and whatever the, you know, November, whatever the date is after week 9 of the season.
I guess it's still being determined whether the Bills have, you know, a problem. And I'm not ready to say that they do, but I was also not really optimistic for their receivers going into the season. And 4 games in, Shakir's done a little more than I expected. Samuel maybe has done a little less, but they're 3-1, and the money would be more challenging for them than other teams, the cap piece of it, but probably still doable. You just, though, like, I think maybe most people would say the same thing, that I'm not sure the Bills really need to do that. There'd be some people who would be like, they absolutely do, and others would say they absolutely don't. But you don't get the whole season to find out before having to act on
right.
this. You might only have a couple of days. You know, if they're ready to be done, then you have to decide right now if you're in the room for him, is this something I need to do right now? Because you only do it if you need to do it. It's, you know, maybe that's not the right attitude, though.
Go
get better.
Yeah, I would be surprised if they felt like they need to do it now. I think the most likely course of action, I don't want to say regardless of how the next few weeks go, because I don't know. I wouldn't expect a player of Adams' caliber to be moved tomorrow. There's noise about it now, and maybe it'll. If I'm the Raiders, I think I want to take my time and get the best I can get, at least get a feel for what's out there, and maybe, as teams aren't feeling the urgency of the deadline creeping in yet, they're starting, they would start low, I think, and maybe the closer you get to the deadline, the better the Raiders can do, because teams are finding their need to be greater than they thought it was. The Bills could certainly fit into this category. I would say right now, they would be like, can we steal him? Can you convert his salary into bonus? And we can take a low cap hit and we'll give you a fifth or something. I can see the Bills being in that sort of posture, if they're even interested at all. But a few weeks from now, that could change. So if I'm the Raiders, I think I'm sitting tight for now, even though it might not be the most comfortable situation. I think I want to hold on because the deadline could. I'm not saying should, but I think it could be their friend here. Like they could make a better deal for themselves the closer we get to the deadline.
Bottom line, I'd be shocked if the Bills did this. I'd be shocked. Even with, they could go higher than a fifth round pick and probably be at peace. You know, they have the extra second even, whatever they were willing to do. They could probably do it from that standpoint, like any team could. But they have spent the entire year bracing us, planning for this, you know, everybody eats, which is really everybody snacks so far, approach. And what? They're the considered arguably best team in the NFL through 3 weeks, have a bad night, and be like, yeah, you know what, actually,
right,
we don't need everybody to eat. We really want to go back to the thing that we've been the last few years, which is what you're doing if you're trading for Devontae Adams. And like, yeah, you know, whoops. I mean, they can't do that. Brandon Bean can't do that. There was necessity to a lot of what happened at that position for them. You know, I wouldn't include Diggs in that category because that was still their choice, but they probably felt like they were kind of forced by him and the whole situation. So you go through the whole thing, you start well, and then like, oh, well, you know, actually, we should probably... No, there's not... You can't... You can't sell me on that.
I think that's the right point.
I could have done this in May,
sure, and gone into the year with a plan to use this player, some other player, whatever, somebody, and they chose no. So right now, I think they're absolutely a no in my opinion, and I agree with them for right now still. Even with, you know, Sunday, I wouldn't want it off one game where you got kind of locked up, just feel like, okay, now it's time to do something. Let it cook here. He's also probably not the only receiver who may get traded between now and the deadline. He might be the most talented. He has the biggest contract, I think, of any of the guys that you know. You talk about Cooper, his contract is super friendly now. DeAndre Hopkins is somewhere in between the two, but it's not what Adams, it's like $30 million or more next year. It's a commitment there that they just got out of and are living with the dead money from the Diggs deal. To see them get right back in that boat now with a 30-plus-year-old receiver, I just can't imagine it. And I'm saying two things here. That's where I think they are, and I'm with them for right now. That could change once we get, and maybe their view will change, but at least my guess at what their view is could change.
I guess I'm not really with them or not with them. It's more just like you laid all this out. Your season's going well enough. You don't have an injury like the Chiefs do. You know, this was the plan. Well, I was reading Sneaky Joe on Curtis Samuel this morning on X. And he's like, Samuel has to be hurt. I'm shortening it. But he's like, he must be hurt. I don't think he's hurt. He hasn't been on the injury report once, right? This happened, this injury was like 7 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing through it. They don't need him to play. If he's injured, he should sit. And they've got half a dozen other guys, you know, that just, you could, he's replaceable. So they're not doing that. And this was the plan mostly. Like, you want, I thought it'd be a little more than Samuel. And, you know, was it going to be down the field? I really didn't expect that, but maybe a couple more touches a week. Okay. But where is that coming from? They're throwing 25 passes a game. And they have their first pick from the draft. They have their first round pick from last year. They have, you know, Shakir outranks Samuel pretty clearly so far. Mm-hmm. And so where are these passes? Who am I taking away from to get Curtis Samuel down the field? And their offense really doesn't run down the field. So, you know, whether it was the plan, this exact sort of small potatoes from him, I doubt they would say yes. But I think it fits within the overall concept of their team. And, you know, I guess it remains to be seen whether it'll work. You know, this is, they haven't had close games, right? Like, that number comes up if one or more of these last three games are competitive into the fourth quarter.
If Miami can get a couple of touchdowns on you, maybe you got to throw it against them. Same with Jacksonville, yeah.
Or on their part last week.
Right.
Like, they couldn't keep the game close enough last week, and it's Trubisky time again, right? So mm-hmm. they haven't had that where it's like, except for Arizona, when if we're, really, the Arizona game was more the Cardinals in the fourth quarter needing to score, right? I mean, they had two drives late, and it was really them more than it was the Bills in that game where pressure's on. You know, the Bills were protecting that lead,
right?
And they kind of turtled and kicked the field goal to go up six in that game. It was Arizona, you know, to the end. After that, so still early enough where there's a lot that's I think unknown. Here's Doug with us. Hi, Doug.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I just wanted to say real quick. Obviously, there wasn't too much good to talk about with this game, but I think we were due for a blowout. Been a long time. I actually think it's something we can build on. So I'm kind of being positive about this game than when we got punched in the face all game. I really like this Coleman guy, but the back shoulder passes I thought were very positive, but that's the type of receiver he is. And it's a shame that we couldn't make it work with Diggs and having Coleman too. I really think that, we're going to have to find another receiver on the other side because, Coleman is what he is. He's a basketball jump type player. He's not going to ever be a Stephon Diggs or a guy that stretches the field all the time. But I think I still think in the long run, Coleman is better than the Chiefs having Worthy, 165-pound guy. And, you know, the Bills were down both of their linebackers. So I think the Bills are going to figure it out. We're the best team in the division, and we're going to win the division. So we're going to make the playoffs. It's just, it is what it is, you know. I mean, they're going to have to figure it out. We're hurting with who the other receiver is on the other side of Coleman.
Thanks, Doug. Getting connected with the fans brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. We'll see maybe now what changes, if anything, with Worthy, with Rice out.
Right.
He plays a very different role, but
right.
I think we might still get some clapback from Xavier Worthy.
I'm not taking a victory lap on that at all. From the Bills' standpoint, the Coleman, you know, that's a win, and that you're stuck with Xavier Worthy. One thought I had on Coleman that I never got out of my mouth yesterday was for him. I think he's fortunate that game didn't end up getting closer, because that drop would have been really magnified if it had. If the Bills get that to like a one score game, and we're thinking about a drop, you know, late in the second quarter that could have been points in and of itself or led to points, you know, I'm not saying he'd be getting lit on fire, but it wouldn't be great. I mean, that was a dime Allen dropped right in on him, right over coverage, perfectly in stride, 40 yards downfield, and he just dropped it. It was a bad drop.
Eight catches. You know, it's okay.
Yeah, he's going okay. He's on the field all the time.
But it's two catches a week.
But, yeah. I said it. He's lucky that game wasn't closer. I think he'd be getting a pretty rough ride right now.
Switch to the Sabres at 4. Paul Hamilton will join us. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, Paul Hamilton, just after 4. Baseball playoffs underway. Detroit and Houston is the first game, and the Tigers lead in the mid-innings 3-0. Pete Rose died at 83. Pete Rose was like the guy, this has come up once in a while for over the years here, where when he would have a birthday, it would blow my mind how old he was. You know, like when you sport, you're a kid and you start to follow sports, and it's not so much like the specific ages of the players. They're just all like your dad's age. They're all adults. Mm-hmm. They're all the kind of the same age. So Pete Rose, as I'm getting, and I was a Reds fan as a kid, you know, 70, he's been traded to the Phillies or the Expos, whatever. It didn't, he wasn't a Red. He came back to the Reds. Anyway, like he's a star. And instead of his being like 30, he was 45 or something. You know, he was just way older than the other guys.
Yeah, you probably 10 years ago probably said, can you believe Pete Rose is 73 years old?
Yes. Every year, his birthday, if I find out about it, like, wow, that just sort of like 83. But, you know, anyway, that's what it is.
Yeah.
I was never really a fan.
I loved him as a kid. I mean, I turned into a Red Sox fan, but, you know, those Reds teams, the Dodgers, like those teams, the Big Red Machine, World Series teams, were some of the first teams I knew every guy on the team. You know, like the lineup, the infield, the outfield, like it was just...
You know, you still do.
Kind of ingrained. I think so.
I do.
Right?
Better than I know this Tigers team.
I'm afraid to try to demonstrate it here, but around the infield, Rose, Concepcion, Morgan, Perez, Geronimo in center field, Griffey in left or right, and who am I missing?
Foster.
George Foster. Okay.
Bench.
Yeah. Bench behind the plate, of course. Right. Anyway, yeah. I don't know how. It's one of these things you can get the wrong idea. I haven't seen anyone who I consider to be a credible source of information or opinions about this, but I'm seeing lots of, oh, all the shows are eulogizing Pete Rose. They're all sponsored by gambling. Oh, how stupid is that? Like, you know that the players still can't bet on baseball, right? You know, I mean, maybe you hate it. It's everywhere. I get it. But it's still against the rules. It was against the rules when Pete Rose played and managed and when he got caught and busted and thrown out. And it's against the rules now. Guys are still getting suspended for it if they get caught using whatever app they're using. So nothing's changed. Yes, we all can do it now. And some of us like it and some of you hate it. It does not exonerate Pete Rose of breaking the rules. He did it. He's thrown out, and that was that. God rest his soul. I loved watching him play. He broke the rules. I don't know. I don't connect the sponsorships on all this, you know, this show, all the shows, to he should be in the Hall of Fame now. I just that is a bogus argument, in my opinion.
I agree. Paul, next. Stay tuned.